All right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined, as always, it is...
Maddie Juice. What is going on, everybody? Episode 101. So this is going to be an episode all about 101s. The basics of anything. So you guys have submitted your topics. No, we're not doing that. But how you doing, Tommy? How's it going on the other side of episode 100? How you feeling?
I am good. I had a long weekend. Holy moly, did I have a long weekend. It was one of those long weekends where you just felt like I might just pass out at any given point, right? And that's because, what did I even do? So Monday, I had to go out to Hershey for work, right? Out to Hershey. We were hosting a wholesaler at work, so had to entertain them all day, right? That was fun, but that's first of all, really mentally draining. Mm-hmm. And then you got to drive 2 hours home afterwards. So I do that. It was crazy. I'm like, all right, I'm super tired. And then Saturday, oh man, we got to wake up mad early because we are going to the Renaissance Fair. Renaissance? The Renaissance Fair up in, Hudson Valley area, New York. So wake up mad early on Saturday. So that was the work was Friday. Wake up mad early on Saturday. I'm losing it. No, Saturday. So wake up, drive almost 2 hours. I guess it's like hour 40 to the Renaissance Fair. We get there nice, bright and early, and never been to the Renaissance Fair. It's interesting. It's something that's, we enjoyed, I think, but it was a long day because you're walking around. It was hot. It was it's almost October and it's still hot out, mm-hmm. which is very annoying here in the Northeast. So it's hot. I'm wearing a costume and whatever. It's fine. You know, just kind of walked around, did some Renaissance Fair stuff. We did a bar crawl thing, where these kind of minstrel thing people just walk around and they were saying dirty jokes and stuff like that. That was fun. Yeah. It was all right. So then we drive home and we're just oh my God, so exhausted. I'm like, well, hopefully we can sleep in on Sunday. Nope. I signed up for a 5K on Sunday in Philadelphia. For my friend, support some childhood cancer. So obviously that was a priority, but wake up mad early again, got to get down to Philly before 8 a.m. on Sunday, park. I'm running late. I'm running from the parking lot to the art museum. I felt like Rocky, except not as in shape. And I make it there in time, and then I run the 5K. And listen, I tell you what, I guess on average, I'll run a 5K every 2 years. The past 2 years, I've done this one, twice. Mm-hmm. So that bumped up the average. But every year you get older, it gets harder. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can imagine. I'm still hurting. So... was
5,000 miles.
My weekends,
a lot.
Yeah, I get it. that was my weekend. It was just so much, a lot of stuff. Got to see a lot of cool people, but I was kind of brain dead. Yes, last night, and then even today, I was slow moving because last night I stayed up to watch the Packers game, which went into overtime and ended in a tie.
Yeah.
So. That was awesome, and I was so mad. I mean, not even mad. It could have been worse. Could have lost, but it's 2 weeks in a row my football team loses because we let a blocked kick happen, mm-hmm. and it's very frustrating. We could easily be 4-0, but two blocked kicks.
Yeah,
that you know, we let happen. And
why not that this is not a football podcast, but I don't believe games should end in a tie in the regular season.
Just, yeah.
I mean, why? Why are they ending in a tie? Just let them keep going until someone wins.
Yeah, I don't know why not or why they don't do it. Probably it probably has to do because it doesn't make sense. You're right, because like baseball will go until somebody wins.
Yeah.
You know, soccer in important games will go to shootout, although and same with hockey, I guess. I mean there's ties in soccer and hockey pretty often, I guess.
Yeah.
But football seems like we could easily, since there's only 17 games in a season, each game is very important, you know, as opposed to baseball or even like hockey, where there's a lot more games, there should be at least a tiebreaker at the end.
Yeah.
Whether it's a, listen,
we need a shootout.
People are,
you know,
shootout.
Like a kicker shootout. Yeah, a kicker shootout.
Although I'm glad we didn't have that because Dallas is, kicker is the best in the league, so that would have been not good. But it is what it is. It's a new week, it's a new day, and I'm excited to talk some games with you. How was your weekend?
Yeah, it was good. You know, just watching the baby. You know, we went out to a state park, which was nice. Kind of did a little stroll around there. She's been getting like less fussy, which is good because she was getting a little fussy there for a few days and kind of inconsolable for certain things. But yeah, she's been doing better. Just been doing like dad duty, staying up till like 3 a.m. every night, just playing some games because I'm on baby watch. And yeah, you know, watched some football yesterday. You know, Eagles like to give me a heart attack in every game, apparently, even ones where they should have just been a blowout. But, you know, is what it is. They're 4-0, so I'm happy about that. But, you know, we'll see if they can keep it up. And, yeah, I haven't really been doing too much. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that really kind of popped up. We watched a new movie called I don't know how new it is. It's called The Thursday Murder Club. It's like Netflix. It's like these people that it's like a Knives Out, but it's with like elderly people that live at like a, you know, like a nursing home or whatever. And they have a club every Thursday where they try to solve cold cases from the police. But then there's an actual murder that happens or whatever. A fresh
was
one.
It with a club?
Yes, it's always, that's the weirdest thing. It's always with a club. It's always at the club too.
nice.
But, with a club sandwich and, yeah, it was fine. It was okay. We've been also watching a new season of Slow Horses, which is a great show. If anyone has not checked it out, Gary Oldman's awesome in it. Really solid show. I think I've wrecked it before, but yeah, I haven't been really doing too much other than kind of playing some survival games, on baby duty, watching TV. I will say that more recently I've started watching more of this YouTube channel called Outdoor Boys, which is a very popular one that he kind of stopped making videos a few months ago, but essentially it's this guy that does like solo, like bushcraft camping in like the Alaska wilderness. You know, he's very popular, so a lot of people probably know him, but I decided to show Maria last night because I was like, I think you might like this. And we just ended up binging a bunch of his videos because it's just like so, I mean, it's educational, but it's just like so interesting seeing someone try to like camp out in this like winter, you know, environment. So that's been, I've been watching some of that late into the night as well, but yeah, haven't really been doing too much else other than just kind of being a homebody, you know?
That's all right. A homeboy at home, you know? That's, I don't know. Yeah, I've heard of this Outdoor Boys thing. I mean, I always get TikToks that kind of like are clips from it or like are insinuating, kind of like giving a nod to the Outdoor Boys. So
Yeah.
Supposed to be really good. Is it over? I thought that it was like done.
Yeah. So he put a video up a few months ago, kind of just saying that, like, I don't know if it's goodbye for now or, you know, I don't know if it'll eventually come back, but I think he just wanted to spend more time with his family and stuff. Cause obviously those sort of videos probably take a good amount of time to go out and, you know, you got to spend a week out in the wilderness or whatever. And sometimes he would have his kids with him, but, you know, he just wanted to be more present. And I think he said he's made enough money from it. Like, he doesn't need to keep doing them. Plus, it's also, like, very physically taxing doing all that sort of stuff. And he's getting older. So, yeah, that was just kind of a reasoning. But he has a huge, like, repository of videos, though. So we just kind of been going through, like, the old ones. And it's very entertaining. I love watching that sort of stuff for whatever reasons. You know, I've watched a guy walk across England in a straight line. Like, those, you know, those videos. I don't know. It just, it's like the wilderness kind of videos.
Yeah.
Are, like, as long as they're authentic, because there's a lot of creators out there where it's like they're not. I'm really into the, like, authentic, you know, kind of like survival in real life, you know?
I think you had, there's
something.
You like a certain thing.
Apparently, yeah. It's very, it's very interesting. So, yeah, but.
Hey, listen. You know. You're what you eat, as they say. But we got a great episode for you all today. You know, we're kind of transitioning into this alternating podcast schedule where one week we will review a game and then another we will kind of just like chat, talk about games in general and some upcoming stuff that just came out, news, yada, yada, yada. And then, you know, and then that gives us more time to play the games that we want to review, you know, a little bit more, like just more so that we have more time to think about it and give probably a better review than maybe we had been giving before. And it's just easier that way for us too, because we have busy lives and stuff like that. So if you like this, comment below. If you don't, shut your mouth. Because we're doing it how we want to do it, no matter what, because it's our podcast. But we do have some news. Fresh Juice Discord, free to join. It's in the show notes below. Check it out. It's a good way to interact with us, recommend games, give listener questions, which we get to at the end of the show, and just chat and hang out. Now, we're going to start, what do you think, with notable releases this week? We had some big ones.
Yeah, we
some
did.
Some big ones. The first one was Clover Pit, which, hey, listen, I think I just saw somebody put out a video the other day that just said, like on YouTube, I just saw, everything's Balatro now. You know, it's a whole new genre. It really is. And Clover Pit is in that realm. It is a slot machine, kind of meme-y. Like, I guess, you know, kind of like big number go up game. I think it was a Next Fest where the demo originally was, had a lot of hype to it. And then I believe this was also a game that was slated to release on Silksong's release date, and it got pushed to this past week. Looks pretty cool. Like, it's something that I probably would enjoy, and it's on my wish list. It's got good reviews so far. It's fun. I love these kinds of games. I mean, we love Balionaire. We obviously love Balatro. So just more of this. I'm all about it.
Yeah, you know, I was watching Northern Lion put out a video of him playing this. So I watched him play a good amount of it, and he also, this video, like, he had previously played like 5 hours of it on stream. So he's hopping into the video like, with all this terminology and all this stuff. He's like, hey, you got to go over here. And I'm like, what is this game? Like, what is this? He's like, yeah, there's a trap door. If you lose, you die, you fall down there. And he's like, you know, you can open this up. There could be a limb in there. I'm like, what is this? So this is definitely like I didn't, for whatever reason, I didn't think of like how sinister the theme of the game is. But yeah, it seems, you know, one of those like number kind of go up games. It's got like a good amount of variables to it as well, because in my mind, when I think about like a slot machine, you know, I'm just like, oh, this is just like RNG, right? Like what,
mm-hmm.
you know, how fun could this be, like doing runs of this? But there are so many different variables that can make each run a lot of fun. Like you can do different like builds for your runs, just like you can with like any other game that's kind of in this genre. But then of course you still have like your, you know, there's a board on the left and the board on the right of like, this is how many points you get for like this combination. And then this is the multiplier that you get, just like you kind of get with a normal slot machine. So yeah, this has my interest as well. It's actually on sale right now, I think too, for, what is it, like 10% off, something like that. 10% off. So it's $8.99 at the moment. So I'm like tempted to like pick it up, 'cause I keep seeing, you know, just good reviews about it. And it's, I didn't realize how much depth would be there with a game like this, because I'm just thinking, oh, it's just like slot machines or whatever. But, yeah, it seems interesting. I don't know how I feel yet about, you know, with a game like Balatro or like Ballionaire, you know, you're not mm-hmm. like moving around like a 3D space, you know? So this is like the first time I'm like kind of seeing that. And I'm like, I'm sure I get used to it, but I will say like seeing it first, like in a video, I was kind of like, just seems like almost like tedious to have to like, turn and look at all these different things. It also makes me think, okay, would this ever be on mobile because of the way that this is kind of built? Does it need to be like that? But I understand it's, I guess it's part of like the theme and the atmosphere of like where you, you know, like why you're doing these things and what the consequences could be. But, that was the only thing, the weird thing with this game is for whatever reason, like I didn't expect it to be like you moving around this little 3D space, like interacting with all these different menus and then the slot machine. But you know, I haven't played it yet, so I'm sure it's not really an issue, but I feel like it would just take me a little bit to get used to that.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the aesthetics of the game, like it harks back to like what that PS1 era, you know, and it's not something I have a lot of nostalgia for, so I don't know if it, like when I originally saw it, I didn't grab me, but you know, I know that I like games like Balatro and Ballionaire, so it is something that's on my wish list. And yeah, it's good to see. Yeah. It's off to a roaring start. Next one I saw, I didn't know much about this, but it's doing really well review wise, like overwhelmingly positive. This is Mars First Logistics, kind of released, I guess, in 1.0. And this, I guess, is like some kind of...
Whoa. I did not expect that for some reason. I haven't seen this game at all.
Yeah, it's like a... kind of like a... I don't know if it's like survival. It's like a toolbox, sandbox kind of game that just has such a cool like art style. It's kind of... reminds me of that game Sable. It looks awesome, to be honest with you. It's like, what is going on with this game? I just saw that it released and it was like, it had like overwhelmingly positive reviews. And I was like, oh, what is this game? I hadn't even heard of it. Mm-hmm. It looks awesome. It looks so cool. I guess, you know, like the kids, man, they just like to build. The children yearn for the mines. And this feels like another kind of sandboxy game that people are going to, kind of really take to. It looks neat.
Yeah, it definitely, like, it seems so interesting. It almost reminds me of like Legos and like Roller Coaster Tycoon,
mm-hmm.
kind of put together, but like, but still different. Like, I'm getting like Roblox vibes. Like, it seems like it kind of like a build your own sort of experience kind of game. And I had not heard of this one. For whatever reason, I just did not expect it to look like this when you linked it here. But yeah, it seems really cool. It's actually Outer Sloth is a publisher. I believe Outer Sloth is, let me just check on that. Am I thinking of a different top seller? Maybe I'm thinking of a different publisher. I thought they were related to Among Us, but that must be a different type of sloth. That's Inner Sloth. Sorry. So there's Outer Sloth and Inner Sloth. So this is not related to Among Us publishing at all. But yeah, this seems really interesting. $11.99, 40% off right now.
Yeah, that's a great price too.
Yeah, it really is for what this could be. And plus, this is the 1.0 update too. So I guess they had a really quick early access period. I'm not really sure. But
I'm not sure how long. I think it just released in 1.0. No, it's been in early access for a while.
Oh, it has. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a few years now, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems really cool. So I might give us a whirl. Good find here, Tommy.
Yeah. What is this game that you put in the show notes? Messenger.
Yeah, so this one, this what you actually linked reminded me of this. So I found this randomly on Twitter. And I don't know if this is going to be kind of a new brand of game or a new way to experience games. But I actually played this on my phone. It just opens in the browser. It's just called Messenger, and so you click begin. We're taking a look right now if you're watching on YouTube or Spotify, but you essentially are just this messenger, you know, kind of postal worker, kind of messenger person on this almost like Super Mario Galaxy kind of planet, right, where you can kind of walk fully around the planet, and you're just kind of doing these little quests, delivering certain things, but this is all running within the browser. And it
runs
crazy. It's very smooth. You know, you can like turn the music off. You can like, you know, the animations are really great. Like you would never think that this was running like in your browser. And I forget exactly what it uses, but it definitely has like a, you know, some sort of new technology, I think, that it's using to be able to run this sort of thing in the browser. But just the art style here kind of remind like, of that Mars logistics game that you linked, it kind of reminded me of this. And you know, also what was that other game, Dungeons of Hindenburg, that this reminded me of as well. But I don't know, just kind of wanted to bring it up. I mean, it's a very simple game, but it also, I don't know, it's just really impressive that this can just run like I was playing in my browser on my phone, and everything ran super smooth. I didn't think it would actually work on my phone. I figured I had to be on the computer, but it's cool. It's at messenger.abeto.co. It'll be in the description, of course, as well, in case people want to check it out. So I don't know if this is just like a proof of concept, maybe for like a bigger game that's planned, but it seems it was like all over my Twitter feed for like a day. And I was like, all right, let me go check this out. It just was something a little different that I didn't expect to run so well.
Yeah, it's really, really neat. It's pretty impressive. I guess I'll be playing that later tonight when I'm in bed.
There you go.
Really cool, really cool. Yeah, it's strange. I hadn't seen it, but I'm not really on Twitter right now. So, it's cool. It's very cool. Now, should we talk about the biggest release of 1.0? Hades 2 is now out in 1.0, and I think it launched on like Nintendo. I haven't played it yet. It's loaded up in my queue to play. I loved Hades 1, and I wanted to avoid early access on Hades 2. Just because, I don't know, it feels weird to me. I don't need to be a part of the early access of games like this. I just want to play the full shebang, right? And I do know a lot of people that played a lot of early access and then kind of shelved it until 1.0. And the general consensus is the amount of polish on an already great game in early access that has been put into this is incredible. And this is just... it's like it shows that Hades 1 was not a fluke and that Hades 2 is, you know, it's quickly becoming arguably one of the best series, right? If they continue to make these great games in the Hades universe, this could be one of the best indie franchises that we have. I mean, this is, you know, back-to-back bangers is really, really cool. I questioned it going into early access, and from what I could tell, this is going to be a proof of concept on how to do early access right. You know, present a good game that like is clearly going to be great, but is going to need polish, and we're going to need feedback, right? So you know, it wasn't stuck in early access hell, which is nice. And the 1.0 is clearly a huge success. So really excited to dig into this. You know, there's a lot going on here in terms of, like, you know, if we want to talk about Metacritic stuff, but what are your thoughts here first before we get into, like, you know, is this the year that Game of the Year is just a bunch of indies?
Yeah, no, this is, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head saying that, like, this is how early access should be done. Because I think there were a lot of people kind of scratching their heads at, like, why would Hades 2 be in early access? I think people have done the same thing with, like, Slay the Spire 2, right? Where it's supposed to, like, launch in early access. These games that have already had success with their first, you know, iteration, why would they need to be in early access for the second one? But I think, you know, I'm someone that I play, like, a decent amount of early access games. I've definitely been burned on plenty of early access games where they either don't really listen to the community and they push it out in the 1.0, or they never reach 1.0, or, you know, it's just in early access for too long and the game ends up losing steam. So I think this game had, like, a great balance of, like, listening to community feedback, you know, using that time to polish the game, and then also not spending too much time in early access, where, like, if Hades 2 ended up releasing, like, a year or two from now, like, how many people would be giving it such high scores? There'd probably be people that are like, yeah, didn't that game come out a few years ago? Like, that's not, you know, not anything that we're too excited about. Even if the game was really good, I feel like you can still kind of overstay your welcome when you're in early access. So, yeah, it's great to see, you know, this is what it should be used for. You know, I think that early access is, I'm never, like, against it just for the sake of it being early access. Like, it was odd to me that Hades and Slay the Spire were entering early access. But at the same time, I also do, like, I understand that also in today's day and age, like, if you release a game that isn't, you know, it's in 1.0 and it's not well received right away, it's really hard to climb out of that. So it's almost like they bought themselves a little bit more time. I mean, you look at the games like No Man's Sky, where it's taken them years to really kind of get back into the good graces of, you know, the gaming community. You know, with a game like Hades that already was so well established, and you come out with Hades 2, and it's not that great, people are going to, like, always be like, oh man, like, it's nothing like the first one. They're always going to compare it to the first one. But I have seen glowing reviews for Hades 2. Like, honestly, to my surprise, I didn't think I'd be seeing 10 out of 10s and 5 out of 5s. I thought it would be, you know, maybe a little, an 8 out of 10 for Hades 2, but we still like the first one more. But this, it makes me want to hop in and play. I've got a lot that I'm playing right now, so this will probably be something I end up getting on sale at some point, just because I just don't have the time to dive into it. But it looks awesome, and you know, it's definitely in my queue to check it out at some point. But yeah, really impressive. And you know, you bring up a good point, you know, if we want to talk about Game of the Year contenders, I mean, yeah, I think this is obviously in it, right? Along with a few others.
Yeah, so as it stands now, Hades 2 has a 94 on Metacritic. Right. That is excellent. Let's bring up some other big indies from this year. Blueprints, 92. Silksong, 91. Three very large. I mean, I guess Blueprints was probably more of a sneaky launch, right? You know, Hades 2 and Silksong are these anticipated sequels. Blueprints, kind of like arguably more impressive, right? You know, that it's gotten the hype that it's gotten. And then also, I mean, if we're going to consider it an indie, Clair Obscur's Expedition 33 sitting at a 93.
Yeah.
So, definitely. You know, that one is indie adjacent, I would say. You know, it's a bunch of like AAA people that just kind of left AAA to do it. That doesn't mean that it's AAA or one or the other. It's hard to kind of say. That one's kind of in its own realm. But those are four non-AAA games that we could easily see get a nod at the Game of the Year or the Game Awards this year, or this upcoming year, which is super impressive, because to my knowledge, what else, what in the AAA sphere is going to give these games a run for their money? I mean, I know that Death Stranding 2 is probably going to get a nod, but
Donkey Kong Bonanza might be Donkey in there, Kong, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo's really like probably going to get a nod no matter what.
Yeah.
But Hades 2, $30.
Yeah.
Silk Song, $20. How much is Blueprints? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Clair Obscur, maybe? I think $40 bucks.
Yeah.
It's a sign that maybe we did this as a indie game podcast. You know, yeah,
it's us.
We're going to take all the credit.
Yeah, they were just waiting till we hit episode 100, waiting for the triple digits, and then they're like, "Okay, now is the year." We're actually going to be asked to present the award at the Game Awards.
Oh,
yeah. People will be like, "Who are these people?"
It's news to me.
Yeah. But no, yeah, it's pretty wild, to be honest. I mean, there are I know like Ghost of Yotei is supposed to be coming out soon. People really like that one, and the Ghost of Tsushima sequel or prequel. I don't know exactly what it is, but people seem to be liking that one, for at least from the early reviews. And then there's also where was it? I was just looking. A new Silent Hill game's coming out or came out. And Borderlands 4, obviously, but I think like all of these are, they just don't have like the hype even of some of these indie games, you know, like so that's, I think that's also really something to talk about. It's like, not only are these indie games scoring really well, but like there is so much hype. I mean, obviously with Silksong, right? But like there's so much hype around. I saw Blueprints everywhere when it came out, right? A game that I had never even heard of before. Same with like Clair Obscur, right? Like I was like, what is this? So I feel like not only are we getting great indies, but like it's almost like the gaming community right now is really like a majority are starting to like really appreciate these indie games. And maybe that is a direct result of like the AAA prices going up, is that just more and more people are looking at indies as an option, and they're realizing like the gems that are out there, you know, because there's been great indie games before, right? Like that just would never really be in that Game of the Year conversation just because they didn't have the hype or the exposure behind them. You know, we were like, I mean, we love Balatro. Like I was surprised it was in the Game of the Year nominees just because, I don't know, it's made by one guy. Like I know a lot of people really liked it. And obviously, like, I wanted it to win, but I was just like, man, a Game of the Year, like, a Balatro game that, like, it's, like, poker, you know? Like, it just kind of blew my mind that it even was nominated. But now, yeah, this year, I feel like things are, it's almost like the turning of the tides. Like, are we going to start to see, you know, more and more indies involved in these Game of the Year conversations as the years go on?
Yeah, it's really cool to see, and yeah, I it feels like a fresh step in the right direction. You know, I like that it's going to expose people to different genres and different art styles specifically, right? I think because like our generation of gamer, and actually like, you know, all right, our generation gamer and the younger generation of gamer, right? We came out of the Call of Duty, Halo, Gears of War, you know, like kind of Xbox Live generation, right? Where it's like games like that gotta be good, or even like the GTAs, the Red Dead Redemptions, and you know, I guess the Naughty Dog stuff as well, like. Those games are all great, no doubt, but like I think the conversation that happens a lot, especially with indie games, and like it was pretty evident with Balatro last year, where like the general gaming public was like, well, poker card game? Ew. You know, like it's like it's not a sprawling epic with, you know, 40K graphics, you know, which is like, I understand that you have a preference, right? But, you know, look at Silksong, right? Almost arguably a Souls-like Metroidvania, but a Metroidvania nonetheless, you know, something that is like a popular enough in the right crowds genre, but it's not something that people are like playing a lot right anymore, and the general public is not playing as much.
Yeah.
So kind of introducing them to that, and then like this kind of top down ish Hades 2, Balatros of the world, you know, listen, you know, you might see people start playing things like Clover Pit, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's all good. The real question is though, with if let's say this year we see a few indies in the nominees, like not just one, and then we see that trend continue, do we just abandon at the Game Awards the indie game of the year? Right?
You know, I mean, probably not. But it would be very interesting if there ended up being a multi-year trend of whatever won best indie game also went won game of the year. Then mm-hmm. that conversation, people would be like, okay, well, like, why yeah. do we even have two, you know? But I think there, you know, obviously, I think there's always going to be like these AAA games that make their way in there, especially like mm-hmm. from Nintendo. But yeah, I mean, it's, I'm very interested to see what the nominees are going to be for the Game of the Year. And also, honestly, for Best Indie Game, you know, I think we kind of have an idea, but like there's, you know, we just had Clover Pit come out. Like, is that going to make its way in there? I don't know. But we'll have to wait. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. No, it's all crazy. We'll see. We will see. But it was worth talking about. What are some games you've been playing lately?
Yeah. So some games I've been playing lately. One of them is I've been playing a few different like survival games. I started like Abiotic Factor, which is a really popular one. And then playing a little Jump Space, which I know I talked about last week. But I also, more recently, I've been playing Megabonk, which I know maybe that's a game that ends up being in the Indie Game of the Year conversation.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, but I talked about it a little bit last week, I think. And, you know, I had played the demo for Megabonk, and I was like, all right, it's a fun game. But I was like, I don't know if this is like certified fresh juice material. But I've been playing, let's see, I've got about 4 hours into it right now. And I really think they made some great improvements, especially with like, I feel like things unlock quicker now, like new characters and new like items and tomes, things like that. But for those that don't know, it is a, let me pull up some gameplay here. But it is essentially, I would say like a spiritual successor to like Vampire Survivors, where it's like in 3D essentially. And it has been a ton of fun. Obviously, it's got a lot of silliness to it. But just like the dopamine hits, like you're getting stuff so often in this. And it does also, because it's in that 3D space, provide like an interesting challenge of like you need to be aware of like where exactly you are so you don't get like cornered, like stuck in a corner. I feel like playing in like Vampire Survivors, like I never really felt like I got like cornered anywhere. You know, I could always kind of make my way out, but like in this game, it's something you just need to keep an eye on. And then like the different characters going to unlock, like you can unlock like a gorilla. He can just climb up the walls. So you can kind of get out of those situations a lot easier than if you're playing a different character. So it's been really satisfying. I've enjoyed my time. It's been, you know, Steam Deck verified as well. So I've been playing on that. I would love if it came to mobile at some point, but yeah, Megabonk is really about what I've been playing the most of lately, just because it's easy to just pick up and play, especially with the newborn around. You can just pause it, deal with the stuff, hop back in, keep bonking. but yeah, it's cool, and it's on sale right now on Steam, 15% off. So definitely recommend Megabonk if you're into like Vampire Survivors and those kind of games, the Survivor likes. I've even seen people say that this is the best Survivor game since Vampire Survivors. And like, you know, people are like, you know, Vampire Survivors is like it feels like the OG in that space, even though it might not technically be that. I think a lot of people have always kind of compared games that are similar to Vampire Survivors to it. This game, I've seen a lot of people say, okay, this is the next one. This is the one after Vampire Survivors that, like, people will then compare games like Survivor likes to. Yeah, I don't know, but it's been fun. I recommend it, and it's pretty cheap. So, Megabonk, check it out.
Sweet, but, sweet. Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah. I haven't started playing Megabonk yet, but lately I'm preparing for its Pro Quest season in Flesh and Blood. So I'm trying to give it an honest try to try to qualify for the Pro Tour. It's in Japan next year, so I want to go. That would be really sweet. But other than that, I've been playing a game called Merge Maestro, which is like a puzzle merge game, roguelike kind of. It's fun. It's easy to play. It's like really cheap. I'm actually playing it on mobile, but it's neat. You kind of like are merging numbers together to deal damage to enemies that are popping up at the top. But then, like, you can upgrade your numbers, right? They can turn into different things, right? So, like, let's say you, like, changed your one to a wrench or something like that. And the wrench has a certain thing that happens when it appears or when it merges. So, like, you do all these, like, fun little synergies. And it's just got that nice little itchy, like, puzzle brain thing. It's a nice little like I got time for a quick run, let me play this weird stupid game. I don't know, I've been liking it. It's neat. It's a neat game. I mean, it's not a whole lot to it other than, you know, it's not like Balatro-esque where, you know, it's big numbers go up, but like it feels closer to maybe not Super Auto Pets necessarily. It looks like Super Auto Pets. It might even be by the same people. I don't even know. But no, it's not. It's just a quick, easy little game to just dick around with, to be honest. I don't know. But like you can do some crazy stuff with the synergies and like you're just trying to find them. And it's pretty fun.
Yeah, it just seems so interesting. I'm like, is there like, you know, you got seals and avocados and octopus, and it's like just all these random. I feel like if someone saw me playing this game, they'd be like, "How? What are you doing in this game? Like, how does this even work?"
Yeah, it's like the merge games. Like Lady Fresh plays a lot of them. Like where you kind of are just like merging two different things together.
Yeah,
and
like kind of like Threes. You ever played Threes?
Yeah,
yeah. It's like a popular one with just numbers.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's like even she used to play one called Merge Magic, which was like, you know, just, you know, one of those mobile games that like you're just merging things together, doing the puzzle. But this like is, you know, you got to really think about the different kinds of things and how you want to update your numbers and stuff like that, because it's cool. It's a fun little game.
I just downloaded it. It's on Android, so.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to try it.
I've been playing on mobile.
I love those merge games, so let's give it a whirl. This one seems interesting.
Yeah, but that's what I've been playing. It hasn't been a lot of Flesh and Blood, but I'm excited to play some I got two tournaments this weekend. But the cool thing is if I qualify, I don't have to play the other tournaments that I signed up for. Say, hey, I can't do it. But we will see. We have something about EA here, but maybe they don't deserve our airtime.
Yeah, they don't. Not anymore.
No. But we thought it'd be cool to like talk about some upcoming releases and then some cool looking demos that we saw. One that I'm really excited for is Absalom, which I'm hoping that if it comes out, we review it, maybe we play it together, because it's a what do you call it? They're calling it a rogue-em-up. So it's like a beat-em-up style, like, you know, your Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles kind of game, except it's going to be a roguelike kind of thing with, you know, this kind of cool co-op going through. And these people that made this game did Streets of Rage, I think. And, you know, those are really popular. I haven't really played them. I've watched a decent amount of them, but this game looks like so much fun. I love the art style. It's just classic kind of fantasy tropes. And I'm excited to, you know, jump into it because it looks like a lot of fun and some really cool boss battles. And, you know, I don't play a lot of these beat 'em up games anymore, but I always loved them as a kid. So like, I think a roguelike version of it is going to get me back into this genre. So this is one that I'm pretty excited about. I think it comes out on the 9th of October.
Yeah, I let's see. Is it the 9th? Where's my mouse? There it is. Yes, October 9th. Yeah. So yeah, I never really played like a lot of these like beat 'em up games. They also have a demo on Steam as well. But I'd be willing to, I mean, obviously it's a roguelite, so I'd be willing to like check this one out as well. Because it definitely, it seems like there's a good amount of depth to it from what I've seen in like some of the gameplay trailers. And also, I just, the character design just seems really cool as well. So, but yeah, definitely something I'd be willing to check out.
Yeah, yeah. I think one of the boss battles that that was in like the original trailer was, his name was Zorg, son of Gazorg, or Gazorg, some of, like, just kind of, like, silly, like kind of graphic novel-y things going on here that I'm really into. I'm hoping that it's good. You know, from what I know from what this developer, yeah, Gazorg, son of Zorg, this developer, that this should be an absolute banger. So, excited to check that one out.
Hell yeah.
But you also put here Little Nightmares 3 comes out, I think, on the same day.
Yeah, so I know there's a kind of dedicated community for Little Nightmares, and I think we talked a little bit about Little Nightmares 2 being on sale during the last Steam sale. A lot of people are saying to pick it up because 3 was coming around, but I've always just loved like the art direction in these games. I mean, like, to me, like, this trailer just looks like just awesome. It's very dark, obviously, like kind of like nightmare sort of themed, but it just, I don't know, I've talked with Maria about this, like, for whatever reason I found that I like games where like you're like the size of an ant. Like, I've like listed so many games, I'm like, It Takes Two and Grounded. I'm like, I don't know, for whatever reason, I just find that like appealing to be like so small in the world, and like you just get this different perspective on everything. But this just seems really interesting. I don't know if it's something we'll cover on the podcast, because I've never played the other two Little Nightmares. I don't know if you need to, but just wanted to bring it up as like a kind of a notable upcoming release. And you know, it does have a demo that's available on Steam, and it does come out October 9th as well. And it looks like the pre-order bundle is, it looks like it'll be like a $40 game, it seems like. There's a pre-order bundle available, but yeah, just kind of like a little adventure game that seems pretty cool from Supermassive. And, you know, it's published by Bandai Namco, so I don't know technically if it's like an indie game, but I feel like people have categorized Little Nightmares as indie before. But yeah, just seemed like a cool little game. And, you know, if there's any fans out there, I'm sure you're already aware that Little Nightmares 2 is about to come out, or 3 is about to come out.
Yeah, it looks pretty sick. I never got to play any of these, but I really love the character design, especially with that, like, plague mask on.
Yeah.
That one character seems pretty sweet. So, yeah, pretty sweet. You know, I'm sure, you know what, like, co-op games and stuff like that are just, like, so popular right now. So, like, I think that, I think this will probably kind of be a home run in that regard, because that audience, it's always grasping at new ones to play, I think.
Yeah.
So, very, very cool. And then, on the 15th, we have Ball X Pit, which is Devolver Digital's next big release. This was revealed, I think, during one of the III initiatives.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a ball breaker roguelike. So, I mean, if all those words sound cool to you? I mean, it looks awesome. I mean, like, I don't know. Devolver rarely misses, in my opinion. So kind of seeing this one kind of being pushed a little bit, it looks like it's a combination of, you know, just regular ball breaker silliness and fun, but it looks like it might just have a little bit of that kind of Survivors like bullet heaven, like dopamine as well.
Yeah.
Like, this game looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. And it's another example, you know, of like a classic game being turned into like a new experience, like a roguelike, you know? So I'm not, you know, we've seen slot machines, we've seen chess, we've seen poker, you know, and now we're seeing, brick breaking, you know, so it's something like I used to play on like my iPod mini back in the day, you know, brick breaker. So now I'm definitely interested in like trying this one out. I've always liked like brick breaker kind of games. You know, even, one of them was, did we play one of them? Oh, it was like Korg or something from like Atari. I don't know if we were playing at PAX.
But oh, yeah. We played it at PAX. Yeah, there was also like the Pong. Like,
yeah. Some new Pong. Call that?
Like adventure.
Yeah.
Adventure game.
Yeah, it was like a Pong adventure game. Yes. So I've always been interested in like that kind of mechanic. But this, yeah, I mean, it's Devolver. It seems like it'll be pretty cool. So... yeah, might have to check this one out on the pod.
Yeah, I think this is probably a good one to check out in the pod. And then also on November 5th, moving out a little bit further, is Cairn. What is Cairn? I hadn't heard of this one. I think you said that you've been seeing a little bit of it on TikTok.
Yeah, I've been seeing a bit of it. It's kind of like this survival climbing game. I think I've seen – there was another game that came out not – too long, maybe like a year ago or maybe a little less, that was also a climbing game. I don't know if this is like kind of mountain climbing too. If you're not watching, mm-hmm. It's like more like mountain climbing than kind of maybe a different type of climbing game. But this one just seemed like really beautiful and kind of reminded me of a few of the games we looked at earlier today, like Messenger and like Mars First Logistics, kind of a little bit in the art style, but not as drastic as like the Mars game. But I don't know, these kind of games like always interest me, and this one just seemed like it had a good amount of hype around it on TikTok. And if there's anyone out there that's kind of played these kind of climbing games, I'd love to know kind of what you think about them. But there is a demo available on Steam. I'll probably end up checking it out to see, you know, what it's like. But apparently you can climb anywhere in the world. And then you just need to be able to survive in kind of whatever you're sort of climbing. So, I'm curious to see like how interesting the climbing is, you know, from moment to moment. Is it like worth like, you know, kind of going up these huge structures? Like, is it a fun, almost like mini game essentially? But yeah, I don't know. Just kind of seemed interesting and was getting a good amount of hype around it.
Yeah, it should be, interesting. I don't play a lot of these games. I mean, I guess maybe I played Celeste. That's kind of a climbing game. But, you know, this, I'm looking at this, I'm like, this kind of reminds me of like, what if Death Stranding was a climbing game?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Which is, you know, listen, I think there's a definitely a audience for that. So it looks cool. Looks cool. I don't know if it's something that I would get into. It's not really my genre, but it's a beautiful looking game. I will say that. So, very cool. Now, we thought we'd run through a couple of cool looking demos for stuff coming out, that, you know, this is also like just stuff that, you know, we like will probably also check out when it comes out. Like, some of this stuff is coming out soon and has a demo, but this one I just saw was announced was Minos, which is this like, you are the Minotaur, kind of creating a labyrinth, right? Where it's kind of, it feels like a weird version of a, like a tower defense, except you're also kind of this end boss, which is pretty cool. I don't know. I just downloaded the demo. We don't have a release date, but it just, there was something about it. I was like, this is probably a really cool concept. I want to see how it plays out. Because sometimes, like, you know, I feel like the tower defense stuff, it really needs to be different, you know? So, and this one, the concept, I don't know. I'm going to play the demo probably later tonight. It seems really cool to me. So, I don't know. I've always been fascinated with the labyrinth and the Minotaur. So, just kind of seeing that, I was like, well, this is kind of right up my alley. So, I should probably check it out. I don't know. What do you think?
No, I'm with you. I saw this game as well. I saw it was like a maze building roguelike, and it just seems really interesting. It actually reminded me of like the tabletop or like Boss Monster, like the card game, right? Where you're kind of like building these dungeons that these people kind of go through, but in this it's like a maze. But yeah, it almost feels like this weird version of a tower defense where you are you're not trying to, instead of trying to make it through, or sorry, I guess in tower defense you're not trying to make it through, but yeah, it seems like a twisted kind of tower defense kind of game. But yeah, it seems interesting. You know, I love the art style, love the way it looks. I'm thinking that I think it'll definitely be something I, you know, end up trying and playing, but hopefully it doesn't take too long to come out. But yeah, I'll have to download the demo and give it a whirl. But seems cool. Seems cool.
And then you found this one, Dice Legends, that also seems pretty cool.
Yeah, so this one comes out on October 10th. And this is a roguelike deck builder, of course, with RPG elements. And you have to use these unique dice to activate cards, and you unleash lethal combo. So it almost kind of felt like, I don't know, a little bit like maybe Slay the Spiree kind of a way, like a little bit, but I don't know, just it seemed kind of interesting. Seemed like it had a lot of different gear you could get, different like variations of you know, kind of builds you could have. And it says here like you can kind of explore the world as well. But yeah, I don't know. I like the art style. Just kind of another game in this genre that seems sort of interesting. I don't really understand yet like what the like you can see them like dragging dice on like the cards. I don't fully understand like what that means. I imagine it's like pretty important, obviously, with a game with a title named Dice Legends, but I just don't know what exactly that's doing to the cards, but it interests me enough. I don't know if it's like the damage that you're dealing or certain things happen when you have a certain roll at a certain number. But yeah, it just kind of seemed like an interesting take on this genre where we've seen so many different games.
Yeah, I don't know. It almost seems like it's the cost.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know, but then there's like blank ones. So like I guess it was like deal X damage or whatever. So like if you rolled like a two, it would deal two damage. Yeah, it looks pretty neat. You know, there's been a lot of dice versions of like a roguelike kind of deck builder. So I don't know if necessarily any of them have been the cream of the crop. So this could be one. You know,
Yeah.
listen, I'm down to play more roguelikes. So especially like with deck building elements. So that's always fun. And then what is next? Shroom and Gloom. This is a demo that I actually have played. This game is gonna be, I think, awesome. This is a silly first person like Slay the Spire like kind of like deck building roguelike where the art style is so cool. And I every once in a while I watch some of the devs' streams on TikTok where they're like play testing. And I also saw that the art is all 2D, just stacked and layered, so that you're walking through these dungeons in like eight, like you're just passing the 2D like realms. I mean, I just think that it's well done. It's weird at first doing the first person thing where you're looking down at your cards, but you get used to it, and it's just a really cool looking game. I'm excited for it to hit 1 point, or not 1 point, I guess probably 1.0. I doubt it'll go into early access since it's been in like demo mode for so long, but Yeah, really, really cool. I would recommend playing this demo if you're into these kinds of games.
Yeah, I've seen this one, a good amount online, and it's been something I've been wanting to try, just because obviously it just looks amazing. But I, in terms of like, because you played the demo, right? So I'm just kind of curious, like, is there a purpose of why it's first person? Like, can you, are there like, are you just kind of going from encounter to encounter, or like, are there like different pathways you can take, like, is there a reason, I guess, it's in first person from what you've played?
It feels like a stylistic choice,
Okay.
for the most part. It's been like a couple weeks since I played the demo. But like, I don't know. It adds a different element of like how you go through the game than like your typical like 2D versions of this kind of stuff. And it's also another one of the games where you have two different kinds of decks. You have your battle deck, and then also when you're kind of traversing, right?
Oh,
You'll have
okay.
like cards that are like, this is a key. Like you want keys to open up doors, but if you don't have a key, you can bash open the door, but you'll take damage. So like there's fun little kind of decisions to make. Like in between the combat too. So yeah, it's cool. I wonder what the full release is going to be, like how big the scale is going to be for this, but I could see it being like a pretty awesome release. But yeah, we'll see. We will see. And then sledding game is the last one we have here. What is this?
Yeah, so
I haven't looked at this one yet.
this is a demo that just came out. I've been following this dev. It's a solo dev on TikTok, and he just kind of wanted to build like a little game where you can just create a lobby with friends, and you literally just choose like this cute little character and you just go sledding. You can build snowballs, throw them at each other. There's little mini games and such. And he finally got a demo to come out. It's like, it's still pretty rough around the edges, but like I hopped on, I did a little sledding, just kind of a chill game. I feel like this is one of those games that's going to be like when you're watching like a short form video, instead of it being like what is it? What is it?
Instead of Subway
Yeah,
Surfer
instead of Subway Surfer, it's gonna be sledding game. Like that's what
or
this is gonna
Fall
be.
Guys or something like that.
Exactly. That's like
I mean the little butts on the back of these characters is hilarious.
And it just, it just seems really cool. Like it's been awesome to watch his development based on like player feedback. Like people were like, "Oh, you should like add like VoIP so we can like talk to each other. You should add like little hats and like all these sort of things that like the community has helped this guy put together." And I don't know, it just seems like a silly, fun game. I don't know if it's a game I'd end up buying, but like the demo was just like silly and chill. There's not really, you do tricks and stuff, so you get kind of points that way, but I don't know if he's planning to add in any other like objectives into the game. But I could see this being popular with like, people younger than us. Where like they just hop on and play some sledding game together. But yeah, I don't know, it's a cute little game, and now they have a demo on Steam. So if you've been watching it, if you've seen this one before, check it out on Steam.
Sounds good. Sounds
Yeah.
good. It looks weird. It looks funny. I mean, with games like Peak, this could be the next Peak,
Right.
right? It's got ice, snowy mountains. So there's that, and it's silly. We
Yeah.
like meme games from time to time. Now, we have some listener questions before we say goodbye. These are from the Fresh Juice Discord. First two come from Capolo. First question from Capolo is, if you didn't have to make money to survive, what would you do?
If I didn't have to make money to survive, what would I do? I mean, I'd probably be like a streamer. Just boot up, play game, I don't, well, I don't know. Like, I didn't need have to make money to survive, but like, do I have to make money to get things that I need that aren't for survival?
That's a good question.
Then I don't know. I mean, I guess, yeah, I'd be like, I do try to be like a content creator because I found that to be pretty fun. But outside, I don't know. I mean, you don't make a lot of money doing it, so I guess that would be my answer.
Yeah.
But what about you?
A podcaster, I think.
There you go. Yeah.
Or card game player, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, both. Kind of what I do now, except not with a full-time job.
There you go.
Yeah. And then Capullo also asks, what is the coolest computer accessory that you have tried, also that you own? Also, shout out to Capullo. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I think Capullo is going to be a dad, which is very exciting.
Oh, congrats. Congrats. It's just, it's all downhill from now. I'm just kidding. congrats, Capullo. That's awesome. Welcome to the club. Yeah, as far as a computer, the coolest computer accessory that you've tried, also that I own, I love my Stream Deck. So not the Steam Deck, but the Stream Deck, like the little thing from Elgato, you know, that's like a kind of like a little macro board. You can, like, I use it to like pause my Spotify and like record stuff, and like you can set up little shortcuts. I've really enjoyed that. That's been really useful. I'm trying to think of like another computer accessory that I really do like. I actually just got one that is making it easier for me to record these podcasts, and it's from Anchor. So you might know them from, like, you can get like portable batteries and like wires and stuff like that. But they have like a, I think it's called like a KVM switch or something. But basically I have my microphone and my camera plugged into it. And I, since I have a dual PC setup, I just press one button now and it switches from one computer to the other for my microphone and my camera. So that makes it a lot easier to, like, we're recording the podcast on one of my computers right now because it's just easier to do that. But when I stream, I use my other computer just because so it's less taxing on like the gaming computer. So now I can just click one button and do it, when before I'd have to like go unplug it and replug it back in. It's just like a pain in the ass. So now that's been a more recent one that I've found to be really cool. And honestly, I was surprised it even worked, because I saw like people online saying, oh, you got to get like the expensive ones. Those are the only ones that'll work. Like $300 or $400. I was like, I'm not spending that. I'm going to just buy this one on Amazon. So that's been cool. I think it's called like a KVM switch, which has been helpful for me. But what about you, Tom?
I mean, I also have a Stream Deck that I don't use right now, but I was using when I was streaming a little bit more. But honestly, my current audio interface is sick. Because it's a Scarlett 2i2, right? It's the newest generation of Scarlett. Scarlett makes great audio interfaces. I had one, my first original audio interface, and I got too old, and it was starting to crap out on me. So I was like, okay, let me get something new. Maybe I'll try a different brand. I got a Motu, which was nice, but honestly, it kept having an issue with the mics and stuff like that. And I was realizing that it was like an ongoing issue and nobody really had a lot of fixes, which kind of was disappointing because these things are expensive. So I recently got this Scarlett to kind of get rid of that Motu, and I think it's been working great. So yeah, and it looks cool. I'm looking at it right now. As I talk, it's got these cool lights going with my voice. Yeah. So yeah,
hell yeah,
but
very cool.
Yeah. But thanks for the questions, Capullo. We have two mozzarella sticks questions coming up. First one from Bags, who asks, what place has the best mozzarella sticks?
Oh man, I mean, I don't have them a lot these days, but there was I don't remember the name of the place, but there was like, I was in Durham, North Carolina, I think. I was somewhere near Duke University, and there was like a little like sandwich place that I guess like the college kids go to. They had these homemade mozzarella sticks. You know, you're not getting the frozen ones that you get at your like local pizza place. Like, these were like homemade, amazing, delicious mozzarella sticks. That place always sticks out of my mind. I don't remember the name of it, but if you're near Duke University, it's like a popular place there. Because I just, like, when we were there, I just Googled that, and that was like one that like popped up a lot. But that was a good one. I mean, if we're just, I'm trying to choose a place that like people listening can go to typically. I don't know. I mean, what do you think, Tom? You got, I mean, like, I've had like Cheesecake Factory's got like the triangles or the, I don't know, they're fine, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't, so the only ones I can really remember eating, like, specifically is Applebee's mozzarella sticks, which is just run of the mill, frozen, probably microwaved or whatever, just throw in the fryer. I know Chili's is pretty popular. They got those square ones. Now they got the ones with the Nashville hot.
Yeah.
Olive Garden, I think, has decent ones. It's got a little bit more of a Mediterranean zest to them. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just gonna go Applebee's because it's just in my mind I can taste them still.
Yeah.
Because I've gotten them a lot in my life. So
yeah, I mean, like, but going there for half price apps and they give you like a plate of 20 mozzarella sticks, you're just like,
yeah,
destroying your system, and it's worth it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, cheap
half
enough.
Price.
Yeah, half price. You know, for the longest time I went to Hula Hands a long time ago.
This is your first mistake.
And, well, back, I had amazing mozzarella sticks there. Like, this was probably like 10 years ago. And I had never, that was the only time I'd ever been there. And I was like, wow, those are really good. So I, in my mind, I had this like, oh, Houlihan's is like a upscale, like, like kind of Applebee's-y, Chili's kind of place that just has really good mozzarella sticks. So, not long, a few months ago, I don't know, I was with Maria and we were doing something and we had to get lunch and there was like a Houlihan's right there. I was like, you want to just go there? So we went in there, I got mozzarella sticks and I was just like, this was a terrible experience. Like everything, I was like, this place is just like, it's like a Chili's or an Applebee's.
Yeah.
Yes, that was a mistake. So now for 10 years, I lied to myself thinking that they had great mozzarella sticks when it was just probably just I was just there on a really good day and I was really hungry or something.
You know, chain restaurants have gone downhill in the past 10 years also. So Houlihan's probably maybe at one point was good.
True.
But the next mozzarella stick themed question comes from R. Carp, who asks, F. Mary Kill, mozzarella sticks, grilled cheese, mac and cheese.
All right, here's what I'm doing. Okay, I'm gonna fuck mac and cheese. I love mac and cheese, and I just feel it would feel the best fucking it. I'll marry mozzarella sticks and I'll kill grilled cheese.
Whoa.
Yeah, and it's only because, like, listen, I love all three of those things, but I just love mac and cheese, and I, you know, I've been deprived of mozzarella sticks. At least I could marry mozzarella sticks, you know, and like, I don't know. I just, grilled cheese is good. I've had some really good grilled cheeses, but I think I would choose a really good mozzarella stick dish or a really good mac and cheese dish over a grilled cheese, like a really good grilled cheese dish personally, you know. I mean, there's always exceptions to the rule, but that's where I'm going with it.
We do not share a single answer in this
one. Okay.
I'm killing mac and cheese.
Oh, my God. How could you?
Killing mac and cheese, right?
No.
Mac and cheese, I'm never, like, losing my mind over mac and cheese. I love mac and cheese, but I'm never, like, oh, man. It's like I'm never, like, craving it, right?
Mm.
You know, pasta in general, I'm not really craving a lot. So mac and cheese, I'm killing. Sorry to say, there's some great mac and cheese out there. I am fucking mozzarella sticks because it's not like an everyday thing, right?
Okay.
It's like a, oh, like I got drunk tonight and and I'm want to eat something before bed and regret it in the morning.
Yeah.
Mozzarella sticks is my answer there. It's like fun. It's exciting. It's like, but you don't want it every day, I don't think, in my opinion.
Okay.
And then grilled cheese is my marriage, right? Because first of all, I'm not like a PB&J guy. Grilled cheese is closer to what my PB&J would be, right? Mm. In terms of like your everyday, easy, no frills sandwich, right? Mm. Like, oh man, like if you're on the struggle bus, like, you know what? I got some cheese, I got some bread. I'll just make a quick grilled cheese and that's my sandwich. So like, it's marriage, right? I was actually talking to R. Carp about this when this question was posed last night. And I said, you know, it's not always exciting, but it's dependable. And yeah, sometimes sure. Then sometimes you can spice it up, right? You know, it's like throw a piece of bacon in there or like a tomato or something like that. I just named the two things you would not do.
yes.
Like jalapenos or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, you know, noticeably, I also mentioned this. All three of these things can be paired with a tomato-based sauce / soup / condiment. You know, I love grilled cheese tomato soup. That's banging combo. Mozzarella sticks with marinara sauce, banging combo. And whatever, mac and cheese and ketchup for some weird people out there, which I did eat when I was a kid, no doubt. I just think it's, sorry, mac and cheese, you're done.
You son of a bitch.
But
now, would you put mac and cheese and mozzarella sticks on a grilled cheese and have that?
No, that's okay. Also, I have beef with mac and cheese because
you eat beef with mac and cheese?
No, I don't. Not anymore. But I have beef because like, well, not with mac and cheese, with like these kind of new age culinary, like gross fat sandwich people. It's like, we got to put mac and cheese on everything. I don't think so.
No,
it should be by itself, I think, you know?
Yeah. I don't want it on a burger. You know, I don't even want pasta on my pizza. Don't put pasta on my pizza. It's too much.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
It's a bit much. But thanks for the question, R. Carp. And finally, K. Moore asks, do you think you could win? Are you smarter than a fifth grader?
No.
No, me neither.
I don't think so. There's, every time I see that sort of stuff, there's always a question where I'm like, I would have no idea how to answer that. There's no way I learned that in fifth grade. You know?
No way.
So, no, I don't think so.
It would be fun to chat with Jeff Foxworthy. Just see, yeah, I just want his opinions on some stuff. It's like, you know, am I a redneck?
Yeah. Well, you know, you're a redneck when you're killing mac and cheese.
But anyway, next week we got Catanaut, gracefully provided, keys from us, by the dev. Thanks to Capolo and the dev for that. We will be talking about that game. And then we got to go to the Rec Room where we recommend something that perhaps isn't an indie game. And what I'm recommending is Martyr by Kava Akbar. It is the 12th book I read this year. I set out my New Year's resolution to read a book a month, and I've hit my goal. So very cool. The last book I read was this book. Came out in 2024. Very good, interesting writing style, kind of a fragmented narrative about this recovering addict who's kind of become obsessed with death and dying with meaning, you know, and it coincides with him being an Iranian immigrant. So, you know, kind of this, like, you know, what, like all these like weird things happen in his life that he's like, is this just, am I going to die and not have it mean anything? So he kind of sets out and goes to a art like exhibit, which is a woman who is dying of cancer. And she's just living in the museum while she's dying and talking to people when they come in. So he goes and talks to her, and it's kind of about his conversations with her and kind of the perspective he gains. So Yeah, really interesting. Really interesting book. It's not necessarily the most uplifting, but it was a good read, I felt like. So at first I wasn't sold on it. It was like one of those books, like I was like first couple chapters in, I'm like, am I gonna like this? And then I ended up, it really stuck the landing for me.
Yeah. And now you're done for the year, right? 12 books. That's it.
I just
Just
started another one
coast.
today.
What are you doing? You got to
I
wait.
don't know. I want to see how many I can get
Overachiever.
done.
You're what?
I'm going to see how many I can finish, I
Okay.
think. We'll see.
All right. Yeah. You should do
But
like stretch goals for yourself. Be like, if I
stretch
finish 20 books by the end of the year, I get to have whatever grilled cheese I want.
I win a PS5
Yeah. From my own
from
bank
me,
account. Yeah.
from my own bank account.
I
Oh my
get it.
God.
Yeah. Yeah, for my rec room, I'm actually recommending a website because this is a website, gg.deals. That's what it's called. I visited them a long time ago, but I always used to use for game deals, istthereanydeal.com. And honestly, they updated their website like, I don't know, a year or so ago, and it's always been a lot slower ever since they updated it. So I don't know. A few days ago, I was trying to see, I was like, is there any deal that, do they have like a mobile app? They don't have a mobile app. So I came across like gg.deals. And what's awesome about this site is that they're working currently on a mobile app, but you can actually like install, like if you open up this app in your browser on your phone, you can like install it as an app on your phone. It's kind of just like a little web app, which is
Oh,
really
cool.
cool. But what I like specifically about this that the other deal site I used didn't have is you can filter the deals by like the tags the game has. So if I want to just look at like, okay, what survival games are on sale right now that I want to pick up, or what Steam Deck verified games are on sale, let's see the historical lows of these games. I actually picked up a game that apparently it has overwhelmingly positive reviews. It's called Level Head, I believe. It is essentially Mario Maker for PC. It was like 70 cents and it works on the Steam Deck and people love it. So I was like, I'm gonna just
Oh
pick
my
this
God.
up. And I wouldn't have found out about it if it wasn't for this site where I was able to like set my own filters. You can even set up, like, if you have an account, you can set up alerts for like certain games, you know, and it'll obviously alert you if it's on sale. So I've just been visiting this one more and more and I've been liking it more and more. So if you're out there looking for like a site to kind of keep track of like not only Steam, you know, games that are on sale on Steam, but it's got the Epic Store. You can even have it like look at like key shops as well, which I know some people find a little shady. You can turn that off if you want to, which I usually do. But there's like so many sites out there that like sell game keys, things like that, this site all takes a look at. So yeah, I mean, another a survival game that's on sale right now is Icarus, which is normally, I think, like $35. It's on sale for $7, which is a historical low. I found out about that, had a few friends pick it up. So it's been great for like figuring out, you know, what games are on sale and then being able to filter those down to see exactly, you know, the genre you want to see. Spider-Heck, for example, went on sale an hour ago. It's only $4.58, historical low. There you go,
Whoa.
Spider-Heck. So, yeah, check it out. The King is Watching, also on sale, 33% off right now, historical low.
Yeah, I bought
Boom.
it
Tales of the Shire, historical low right now. I mean, it just keeps coming. Just keeps coming. So
It sure
it's
does.
a it's a it's a cool it's a cool site, gd.deals. Check it out.
Yes, sir. And that's going to do it for today. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I have been Tommy Fresh. You can find me at Blue Sky at Fresh Buds Pod and all socials. I have a podcast called Fresh and Buds. Talk about really a really cool game called Flesh and Blood, which I've talked about on the show before. Check it out. This week we have AgroBlaze 96 coming on the show. He is a Flesh and Blood streamer, one of the best in the biz. Just got the creator grant too, which is very cool. One of the four of the five that deserved it. And but he seems like a good dude. I'm excited to talk to him. And you can find us on socials at Fresh Juice Pod. Where can people find you,
Matt? Find me at Matty Gorm, G-R-M, on all the socials. Put up a few YouTube shorts recently, TikToks and things like that. So starting to get a little bit more active. So feel free to go on and support over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess it's been another juicy episode.
Yes.
See you next week.
See you.